Good afternoon, St. Louis. DGS on KMOX. Happy Monday to you. I don't know why I'm acting like it's the frozen tundra out there or something. I'm wearing a hoodie instead of a t-shirt, and it's like, I don't know what's happening in the world.
Might as well be. Cold.
Andrew, you're pretty bundled up.
I know.
You've got a big sweatshirt on.
It's a big something.
Also, your hair is a mess. What's going on with you?
I need a haircut so bad, you guys. I know.
I know where you can get one.
I know. I got to get one of the patented DG cuts.
Amy, were you a part of that?
No.
I took Andrew out to the parking lot a couple years ago.
It was right at the height of COVID when you couldn't get your hair cut.
Yeah.
So I took him out there and I cut it for him. And I think even the biggest detractors have to say it was a pretty good haircut.
It looked like Dave knew what he was doing because he approached this with the confidence of like a 20-year veteran hairstylist.
That's half. That's half the job.
You gotta pretend like you know what you're doing.
24 years has been working.
But yeah, it's half the job.
If I recall, it looked okay on the day, and then Andrew, you went home and washed your hair and realized that your hair was a little.
I'm not responsible.
Little off.
For what happens after he leaves my chair.
Sure.
Yeah, I think it was the
it's
way
fair,
I was styling.
Right, Amy?
Yeah, I think it was a styling problem. 100%. I think it was on me. I think
user
I was
error.
Not. I was not styling it.
I gave you a bob,
way.
And you were doing a Prince Valiant.
That's exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. Many, many remarks.
That's what I keep saying about, so I cut my hair into a bob about like 4 months ago, and there are days where I'm like, it's just giving like berries and cream. It's giving like Lord Farquaad. Like, some days it just doesn't do what you want it to do.
That's really awesome. It's funny that we're talking about that today because I never, ever get my hair done, and it's like once a year, even a haircut. So, I don't know. It's growing at different rates. So it's been scraggly and weird. And I've been wanting to just like cut off these uneven pieces on the back. And I don't know if like pulling my hair in front and then just cutting it like that would work. Well, so I grabbed some like craft scissors.
I have room.
this morning,
craft scissors.
Yeah, like big, like craft.
I might actually be the best option here.
And I asked Mason Jar. I was like, "Can you just like cut this off?"
No.
This morning, and he did. So
I
went downstairs, and Clara Jar was there. She's 15, and I said, "Hey, I asked your dad to cut the back," and he's like, "I go, how does it look?" And she's like, "Yeah, there's a few pieces." So she grabbed kitchen scissors and cut off a bit more.
Hey, it takes a village.
No kidding.
So I had two hair appointments today.
This is the way you summon demons, is to have each member of the family cut off a little piece of your hair.
You know what? You're right. It's weird.
Yeah,
now put it in the fire, Clara Jar.
So anyway, I haven't looked at the back yet, but Clara Jar said there were a few pieces.
You're brave.
Yeah.
Do you just not like going to get your hair done?
I hate it.
Do you?
I hate it. Yeah.
What about it?
And, well, it takes forever because I have what you call, they call it a dirty dishwater blonde or like mousy brown. So really attractive names. So
that's how they write you down in the book.
Yeah. So I take my mousy dishwater hair and I'm like, can you just like liven it up, but do it in a way that if I don't come back for a year, it doesn't look dyed. So it's like pretty natural, but the way they like paint it in, it takes forever. And then the hair cut. And I think sometimes because haircuts are so expensive, don't you think they unnecessarily drag it out?
Just to make you feel like you didn't get taken?
It's so expensive.
If they get you in an hour, they're in an hour, you're like, wait a second.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. So yeah. I feel like it's expensive and boring.
What does an expensive place cost you these days? Like some place in Clayton and they do the whole Megillah.
Mine for the haircut and the whatever it is that they do to the color with tip is close to $400.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty.
Yeah. It makes me like feel sick to my stomach.
Man.
So that's why I only go like once a year because I feel like it evens
out. We've come
out.
A long way since I had hair.
Yeah, I'm never getting a cut again. I'm just scared they're going to tell me that.
I should really work this side hustle.
I just remember a couple years ago it was revealed that AOC paid like $300 for her haircuts and everyone was trashing her. And I'm like, that's how much it costs.
Yeah.
But
plus she's
with,
on camera
this
every
is
day.
With color though. If it's just a haircut, it shouldn't be $300. But if they're doing like balayage where they're painting in all the different.
Yeah.
Then that's,
Amy, I have great news. I can get you $15 with tip at Great Clips.
Is that really
just
about what it is?
Name. Yeah, it's about what
Man,
I pay for mine.
Man, guys have it so easy.
I know. But I also hate getting my hair cut, not because it's $1,000, but I feel like you have to be social about it, right?
Yeah.
And like, I feel like it's rude if they want to ask you questions, but you don't want to answer, which I never do, because it's like, I'm... I'm sorry, I don't know you. I don't want to like chat about what I'm up to today.
I like getting massages.
I'm getting a haircut.
And I tend to stick with the same person because they understand I'm not here to get to know you kind of thing, which is very rude. Well, it's not very rude. It makes you feel rude if the massage person wants to chat.
Yes, if they want to chat.
Because
you're like,
I'm going to chat. Like if I got a 2-hour massage and they want to talk for 2 hours, I'm too big of a wuss. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk for 2 hours. I just don't have it in me. I have it in me to be really nice and a real jerk. I don't have it in me to go like, I'm sorry, but I would just really like to relax. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I don't have that gear.
You don't have the appropriate gear.
No, I don't, exactly.
Can you stop answering or make your answers shorter and shorter so that they eventually stop talking? Because I'm like you, and I did that, and I was so tired, and massages are so expensive, and I treated myself. And this person talked the whole time, and I got in the car and cried. Because I was so tired, and I'm like, that
not
was
a very
my
good massage.
No, that was my one so treat. Yeah. One person tried their comedy routine. That's bad. She was practicing and asked if she could do her routine.
Oh, my gosh. That's horrible.
That's pretty good. That's a good bit. I think I would do that.
But could you like just go, yeah.
No, I would like to think I could. That would be the highest evolution of my appropriate firmness. And I have not reached that
but
yet.
But you know what? That's what I do, and I feel like a jerk. Like you were saying, like I will sort of, you know,
breadcrumb them?
Yeah, I'll like kind of wean it down to like, you know.
To.
So what are you up to? I'm just getting a haircut. I don't know what else I'm going to do today.
that's really shocked me. I would think you would be really chatty.
If I'm in like a really good mood and it's somebody that I've, because there are people that I've gone to for a long time that have worked there for a long time that I do feel a little more comfortable with. But in general, because I don't get that many haircuts in general, it's just kind of like I just want to get in and get out. And I feel weird because people are, strangers are all over me and stuff. And
old guy alert. It makes me sound twice as old as I am. But when I was a kid, we would go to Hans Barber Shop in Wood River. And that's when Wood River was really kicking and like every storefront was filled. And there was always a huge long wait. And you'd go in there and they had a soda machine with 16-ounce bottles.
Whoa.
The kind that went ka-ching when you pulled it out. And then when it was your turn and you were a kid, you'd sit on that, like at a Johnny Rockets, like the sparkly booster chair.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd put the thing around your neck, like little cloth. And they'd always say, like, hey, can I get you a beer? You know, everyone would laugh, like, you know, that whole thing. And it was just magic. I just loved it. Super cool. That's how I did it.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
Then my mom and dad discovered that little triangle thing, and that's why I'm bald today.
Oh, no.
It was like a Ronco deal, and it was a triangular shaped, on all three sides was a comb of different, levels, and a blade. And I understand what they're going for.
Oh, yeah.
But it really, honestly, just ripped your hair out by the follicle.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm from the generation where we feared our parents, and I would go toe-to-toe. I'm like, look, you mofos, let's just, you take a knife, I'll get a knife, let's go. Because it hurt, and it never grew back, and next thing you know, I'm in eighth grade wearing a hairpiece.
When was the Flo-Bee? Because I remember my parents
always. That was more like when I was in my 20s.
Okay.
Yeah. I've never even seen one operate.
Okay. Because that was just like a vacuum with a bowl on top, right? Like you just set it on.
I think it was just a vacuum.
Okay.
Yeah, with cutters, blades. I don't know.
Boy, we really are cavalier about cutting our own hair.
Can I, in front of everyone, ask you a favor?
Sure.
Could you never, ever make that gesture you did when you were walking into the bathroom and you saw me?
Jeep wave? You didn't like the Jeep wave?
It was a bathroom. It was an Andrew, I'm going to the bathroom. At first, I thought you were pretending to be a bird or an airplane.
Yeah.
Because, like, your arms were to the side.
So
and
I
you
stuck my arms out. Yeah.
Yes, and he seemed to be making a budden sound, and he's walking into the bathroom. I'm like, I don't know why you're doing this.
Wait,
I was hard to starboard.
You walked into the bathroom and then spread your arms?
No, that was before when I was walking.
He spread them before he walked in.
Because I saw my pal Dave.
And he went like this.
And I gave him one of these because I gave him a little Jeep wave. The wave to acknowledge.
I think you've done that before.
Yeah, the way to acknowledge, like,
oh really?
I think you're
waving at everybody, huh?
It was like, I think you're coming from the bathroom. I'm also going to the bathroom. Hey, look at us! Look at us going to the bathroom. Hey,
why did you have your arms spread?
Because I was walking like this. Because I guess
why?
I don't know. I was. in a silly, goofy mood, I guess. I don't know. I was kinda...
You know, one of those moods where you talk to the lady cutting your hair?
Yeah, I was kind of moving. Yeah, right.
That would be a great haircut day.
I can't be social. I can't be social with
She'd
a lady.
Be like,
who's...
I love that guy.
He's so nice.
Oh, coming in next Tuesday, it's Mousy Brown, so get ready.
Oh.
Also,
we have a dirty dishwater in the building.
Much like the script of Planet of the Apes, the mice...
They've evolved.
Have left the car.
They've left the car, and they have
entered the castle.
As everyone warned me would happen, they have made it into the house.
As I understood it, people online were telling you.
Yeah, and my cat has caught a couple of them.
Hmm.
And, I mean, it's tricky, right? Like, I'm proud of her, because I didn't think she had it in her, because she's a coward, like her daddy. She's a giant coward, and so she runs from everything. We tried to take her outside yesterday, or day before yesterday, just to let her see how nice and pretty it was outside, and she was like...
Has she been outside before?
Very, very rarely, because she hates it. She doesn't like it, and she starts, like, clamoring to get back inside again. She takes after her father. And so I was like,
you do that too?
Yeah, I'm like, I just don't... Anytime I have to go outside, I'm like, back inside, air conditioning. So I didn't think she would have it in her to catch mice. Turns out she does. She's really good at it. But the problem is...
Have you seen it happen, or are you just seeing the after effects?
Well, I'm seeing the after effects because the first one that she brought us was on the larger side.
Mm-hmm.
Comparable in scale. I think it must be a relative of the one that was of the original, because it was comparable in size to that. Because everybody who saw that mouse was like, man, that thing is big. And
living in the back of your car.
So... she brings it from the basement upstairs in the living room where my wife and I are, and she just, like, drops it on the floor in front of us, and she's like, look at what I found! And this thing starts running around.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and then she's chasing it, and then we're chasing them. Like, we're chasing Tom chasing Jerry. And
Who caught who?
She eventually caught it, and my wife began pleading, give mommy the mouse, Gigi, please just give mommy the mouse. And she did. She eventually did, but we would hear that exact same refrain several more times because now she keeps catching baby ones.
Did the mouse make it?
I don't know if the mouse made it.
Why don't you know?
Because I wrapped it in a bag and threw it in the trash can.
I'm going to say the mouse didn't make it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to guess that the mouse is no longer with us. It was a moment of panic. I apologize to people for the ethical treatment of mice. But I threw it in the trash can.
Beat him?
Beat him.
Pet him.
I'm terrified. I'm terrified of pet him.
How come you didn't throw him in the intersection again?
Because look where that got me.
Yeah, way better to put it in a plastic bag and throw it in the trash.
I threw him in the intersection.
Slowly
and now I'm being haunted.
Also, here's another thing. I'm going to guess Mr. Mouse is gone. But if he's not, I'm pretty sure Mr. Mouse knows how to get out of a bag in the trash. It's almost like throwing you into the bank.
No, he's not getting out of the can.
Why?
Like, it's not my house can. It's my yard can.
Well, you're going to open the can again, right? Can.
Yeah, but he can't climb up that. They can't climb up
the trash and in there and the walls? Yeah.
Well, there was no trash in there when I threw him in there. And it's since been... emptied.
Okay.
So
he definitely didn't make it.
Well, he might be in the... I mean, if he's in the dump, I'm fine with that. I don't care. I don't want him to die. I just can't have him here.
Now.
But the baby ones, she's been taking those things out. It's been... it's been rough.
If there is a pedum out there, you're in big trouble.
Hey! Go arrest her!
Your wife?
No, the cats!
Please, sir, take my cat.
You can't arrest a cat. I've tried. You know how hard it is. 123 DGS. Let me do a public service announcement here. So I was, actually, I did a lot of work this weekend. I'm kind of proud of myself. I'm not known for working on the weekends, but not like Loverboy, but I did. And then I treated myself. I wanted to watch the Jason Statham movie, even though I'm not a big Jason Statham guy, called The Beekeeper. Mm-hmm. And but I had to buy it for $20 on Amazon. But I have hundreds of dollars, and I decided to do it. And I did it mostly because on Rotten Tomatoes, it had a 92% rating from the audience. It had like a 78 or something from critics. And I'm like, well, come on. That's pretty damn good.
Uh-huh.
This was... Now, I enjoyed it because I like stupid John Wick kind of movies, but it was also the single worst piece of film I've ever seen in my life.
Really?
It was like created by AI or a 12-year-old boy, And it was just insane to me that a movie can be that bad and actually get put out with a major star and then get a 92% on Rotten Tomatoes. What are we doing? So I was going to ask you, I know that there's this thing where people go and they give bad reviews.
Yeah.
Ironically, do they do the same thing on the positive just to suck you into? Do yes. they really?
So there was a movie called Morbius.
Yes, I know that
a couple,
movie.
Yeah. So Morbius became a fairly successful movie in spite of being terrible. Because it became a very popular thing to joke about online.
I wonder if that happened again.
People would say, like, it's Morbin time, and that was, like, the joke about that movie, right? And just, it became a joke to, like, well, we're going and seeing Morbius for the 14th time, yeah. You know, and all this. And then, you know, leaving the positive reviews that's like, I give this movie 7 thumbs up. And, you know, it was so awesome when he said it's Morbin time, and he morbed all over them.
And then also... I want to say spoiler alert, but my God, I mean, it's kind of hard to spoil. But he kills a whole lot of federal agents in this movie.
Wow.
I know. And not for good reason. Yeah. You know, I mean, uh-huh. He's after his person he's after. And there's a government connection, but it's not like the government's dirty.
Yeah.
But the FBI agents get in his way. I bet he kills 50 FBI agents. And yeah. I'm like,
just like normal people.
Like, is this okay? Like with John Wick, he killed something like 400 people, but they were all mobsters.
Yeah, they're criminals.
I don't know if I'm Jason Statham and I have like this franchise, this dynasty I put together, I'm not sure I'm doing a script where I kill a bunch of federal agents. Just
yeah.
feels a little weird.
Especially ones that are just like...
And, you know, you always...
Doing their job.
Yeah, right? Like salarymen.
And, of course, you always root for the John Wick or the Jason Statham because he's going against the bad guys and the bullies until the FBI SWAT team shows up because you just yeah. killed 13 people and then you killed them too. Yeah.
So, okay, along those lines, I always think that with movies like the Bourne movies or any movies that have a lot of chase scenes... There's a lot of collateral with the poor police officers
yes.
who are just doing their jobs and their yes. cars go flipping off
oh,
bridges
man.
And nobody cares.
Right.
Every time
nobody
I see
cares.
A cop car flip and then explode and you're like, those guys are dead now.
Those are real people.
Even about John Wick, where the guys are like, you know, D-list mobsters. And he like just turns around real quick and shoots the guy through the nose.
Mm-hmm.
And you go, whoa! Like, that guy was, he has kids.
I know.
He has a 401k somewhere.
I know.
He shot him through the nose.
And that kind of thinking has really ruined a lot of movies for me. And I really feel for you kind of going down that same path where you do it and you're just
be careful. Do not buy it. Be careful renting it unless you just want to watch it for the pure, oh my God, Dave was right. So some news in Donald Trump world, and forgive me if I don't get all of this right, but it's my understanding that his lawyers filed something with the New York court where he owes $464 million. And get this, the interest is $112,000 a day,
jeez.
Which is just $1 million. It grows by $1 million every 8 days. I mean,
wow.
I know, but yeah. you can't even really wrap your mind around that. But his lawyers officially filed something saying he doesn't have it, he can't pay it. Letitia James said, so bad, you know, too little, too late, whatever, we're going to start taking your stuff. So that's where things set. They've filed an appeal with an intermediate sort of appellate court looking for relief, saying that that's too much money and it was unreasonable. But even by the statutes, as I understand them, again, in New York, it by law would not be unreasonable and it would be under the court's discretion. And so it's kind of a long shot. It's more than a long shot. It's more of a Hail Mary. So at some point, in the next couple of weeks, it's possible that the state of New York starts to take stuff and shows up in Trump Tower and says it's ours. I mean, I've never done that kind of law, even when I did do the law, which has been 23, 4 years ago now. But crazy, crazy. An ex-president is on the hook for $500 million, growing by $1 million a week, says he doesn't have the money. And they're now saying, OK, we're going to start taking your stuff.
Hmm.
And what did they do with it? So, like, if they take Trump Tower, they just take it and sell it.
They satisfy the judgment.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they just take it, sell it to whatever.
Yes.
The quickest, put it up for quickest bidder is.
Just like if someone who has the $300,000 house and goes belly up and they take your house and they put it up for auction, you'll see these things like, hey, there's an auction for this land, there's an auction for this house, this car. Same kind of thing, only it's a $1 billion piece.
Is that the like
real estate.
when they have like the it says like seized assets or whatever? That's what that is specifically.
Basically, okay.
Yeah, when you look at Donald Trump, it's all. It's with everything that he has said that's just outrageous or offensive or flirting with illegal. He says so much of it that it goes from, wow, you shouldn't say that, to it's just white noise. I don't even know what he says anymore. Here's the thing. I like his policies. The same thing happens with the indictments and the lawsuits and the countersuits and the civil cases and the criminal cases and the inquiries. There's so many of them, and he just... I think loves the drama of it all because all of a sudden it feels like white noise. And I think his voters just go, it's too much, right? When we're overwhelmed as humans, our initial reaction is kind of just to be like, okay, just push it away and move on to something else. Kind of like if you've got a to-do list, there's no time that I want to watch TV more than when I've got a gazillion things on my to-do list. And I think there's something to Trump voters that because there is so much junk that comes with him with all of his statements and all of his legal issues, that it becomes white noise and he rises from the ashes, which is why with Trump, I heard someone say this and I agree completely. It's not an ideological phenomenon. There's not like, wow, what do Trump voters believe? It's not that. Because there's no consistency. It's either a psychological phenomenon or a sociological phenomenon. But it's not ideological, because there's no platform.
How do you feel? I know this is ham-fisted. I will admit that. But I'm not the first to say it. Many people have said it. But being a very religious person yourself, how do you feel when people say, like, well, it's because politics has become religion, or it's because Trump is a religion? Do you see a connection in the type of belief in dogma?
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. Yeah, because I think it is a symptom of a Republican Party that was breaking and a church that was breaking. I think there was a lot wrong with our theology and our church and a lot of people who claim to be Christians. For Trump to step in and to see the support among so-called evangelical Christians is astounding to me and disheartening. And I think it's a symptom of it being broken in the first place. And in lieu of real theology, and you don't have true beliefs, you don't know what you believe, or it's more of like, I go to church and therefore I'm a Christian. You start to blend conservative talking points with Christian talking points and Republicanism and Trumpism. And all of a sudden you have Trump playing a role and politics playing a role that used to be held by faith and church and community, which is why in previous times, other things mattered more than politics. Now politics is everything for a lot of people.
Interesting. Yeah, it really has blended. It's become an amalgam. Thoughts? Rach, Andrew?
I mean, I couldn't agree more that politics has become everything for a lot of people. It's become like it's just the centerpiece of your life. I used to say when I was younger and kind of in the pre-Trump years, I would say like, everything is political. It's you know, you can't look at sports or movies or whatever and be like, there's nothing political about this. Don't make it political. And I would think like every single thing is political. Don't be insane. There's politics and everything. And now I kind of regret having that line of thinking because I think
really wasn't true back then, or at least not to the extent.
Not to the extent. And I feel like I wasn't the only person who had that thought. And that line of thinking is part of what led us into turning everything into politics.
What scares me the most is not Donald Trump or AOC or any individual person, as big as they may be. It's the change in the space-time continuum of logic that, like I said to Rach earlier in the office, I don't know if in the past year 1,000 human beings, and I mean this literally, in the United States of America, that I don't know if you told me 1,000 human beings have had their minds changed from being MAGA to not MAGA or not MAGA to MAGA. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I would be astounded. And my point is, I don't think people are changing their minds anymore. and certainly not in the way that we did before this era, where, again, kind of beating a dead horse here, but every day the same dead horse raises its head. You have to beat it again. And I'm not talking about Trump. I'm talking about just the way we relate to each other, the way we think, the way we logic, the way we reason. And it used to be that we all agreed 80-90% on the facts. Okay, like Amy and I may go like, no. That's not what happened in 1978, but we'll get there. And then we would disagree about what happened in 1978 and what that means for us now and how we should go. And Amy thinks that we should spend more money and we should take care of the poor. And I think, no, the poor should take care of themselves and we should save the tax dollars. That's the way it used to be. And now I really don't know what it is. I just know that I no longer sense that people are persuading each other through intelligence mm-hmm. and facts and logic. And I will put myself in there to some extent because I'm not a Trump guy, as you guys know, but I fancy myself being open-minded. I call myself open-minded. And if Mark Cox, who is a Trump guy and a friend of mine, if Mark Cox and I were to go out and have a bourbon together, I would listen to him. My mind would be open, but I can't imagine leaving that night or a series of seven nights together and going, you know what? You got me. You convinced me. So in some ways, I'm as intransigent as they are. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, I don't think that's true, though, because it's not that your mind isn't open. It's just this person, being Donald Trump, has showed you on so many occasions that there's someone that you wouldn't want to associate with or be in line with. So I don't think it's like, oh, since I would never vote for Donald Trump because of this mountain of BS that he has created in the past, I don't think that makes you like a closed-minded person. I think the fact that you would be willing to have a conversation with someone on the other side proves that you are open-minded. But saying that since you wouldn't change your vote, it doesn't make you open-minded. I don't agree with that at all.
I worry about...
Because it's not like you're just like, I don't like him and I'll never like him. It's like, no, there have been... I mean, January 6th was like a big deal to a lot of people. And I mean, you and then, you know, just comments made about immigrants and, you know... I mean, there's a million things to where you would go, I don't want to associate with that person.
One thing, I'm not saying this is different about me, like I'm so much smarter and I'm on a higher hill than the rest of you. But more than 2024, I'm worried about 2034 and 2040 because I don't know where we go from here and how we transition out. Because let's say Donald Trump wins.
Yeah.
Well, he doesn't get to stay again and there's never going to be another. Trump Jr. Or J.D. Vance or anyone else who thinks they're going to be the next, they're not. He's a one-off. Now, the MAGA agenda may keep going, and it may morph into something, and it will. It's not going to disappear overnight. But just the way we relate to each other, I'm worried about 10 years from now, what our political discourse looks like. Because it's easier for me to imagine it being worse mm-hmm. and more siloed and more shallow than it is like, oh, well, that got better, didn't it? Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, and this is what what Republicans need to know and Democrats, too, although it is slightly different because with Trump, you did have someone who did try to stop the constitutional process and the peaceful transfer of power. That's a bad, bad thing. But what I wish I could tell all Republicans is if Joe Biden wins and he's president, there's going to be another election in 4 years. And it's funny because I've been saying this the last few weeks. Like, everyone forget the Flight 93 election mentality. Get over it. We're going to be fine. You know what would be awesome? If Republicans won the House and Republicans won the Senate and Joe Biden's president, he won't really get much done. And then we'll have another election and we'll start over. Literally this weekend in Dayton, Ohio, Donald Trump said, if Joe Biden wins, we won't ever have another election. What are you talking about? You're just straight up lying. There's more concerned that Donald Trump would try to stay in power a la Vladimir Putin, who, by the way, just quote unquote won another election. He's creeping up on Stalin's record for the longest reigning dictator in Russian history. But listen, if Joe Biden won as president, well, Kamala Harris will be vice president. Fine. Then Kamala Harris is president. And let's say the Republicans win the House and they win the Senate. She won't get anything done. That's ideal. I'm glad Trump is old, because I agree with you, Dave, that when Trump goes away for whatever reason, because he is old, he's getting up there. So eventually, he, like the rest of all humans, we're going to die sometime. I do think some of this cult of personality enthusiasm will dissipate, because it cannot exist without him constantly feeding the flame.
The show's so much different without Ranji and Wheeler.
Yeah.
We're doing like a real show here.
Yeah, we had talked for more than 10 seconds at a time.
We did start out with you throwing mice and waving at me weirdly going in the bathroom, but you got to warm up, right?
Yeah.
Okay, fine, fine.
Remember how nice the office was? It was just me and Andrew.
Mm-hmm. It was so quiet.
It was so quiet and cozy.
So we've ferreted out the problems, haven't we? So we are down a couple of guys. We have Wheeler out and Ronge. They'll both be back tomorrow, although we have a late start tomorrow because of Cardinals baseball, right? Mm-hmm. That's not going to make anyone sad. Everyone loves listening to Cardinal baseball. Coming up later on the show, Sue Thomas is going to join us at 2 o'clock. Holly Thompson Rader, who's one of our favorite legislators in Jefferson City, is going to join us to talk about child brides. Evidently, people are coming here from all over the country because you can marry a 15-year-old, I think it is, if their parents say yes. Tommy Ackerman's going to join us. Sweet 16 coming up, so full show. I was using a calculator today, and it made me go back to math when I was a kid, and we had calculators, and they would say, now you have to do this on your own. Now, it would have been fine. I understand you're dealing with children, but it would have been fine had they said, you need to learn to do this math on your own because we're training your brain. But what they said was, you won't have access to calculators. And at the time, I had a calculator in front of me, mm-hmm. and I was like, you're going to uninvent it? You're going to, like, are these illegal to people over 12? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like, I know they didn't anticipate me having one on my phone, but they knew that we had them because we had them. And they're like, well, you're not going to have access to these anymore. So, liars.
I felt like we had a worse thing when I was in school. We had the algebra textbook, and all of the answers, or maybe half the answers, were in the back of the book. Did you have this too, Rich?
Yeah.
And it's like, of course I'm cheating. Are you kidding me? I don't know any of this stuff. I don't understand algebra. So I'm going to the back, and I'm just like, oh, I guess the answer is this. So they say, what's the answer? And then they're like, well, how'd you get there? I'm like, I don't know.
One of the smartest teaching, I wouldn't call it a trick, but it worked. And it was a college professor who had a pretty difficult class, but you could bring notes into your exam. And you could use one standard 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, and you could fill both sides. And I remember we did it in like green or blue and green, and then got 3D glasses, which like didn't help, but we felt smart. But the very act of making those notes was the most studying I'd ever done for a test. It was brilliant.
Oh,
interesting.
Transcription is, you build so many skills with transcription, and it does activate different parts of your brain. Even today, when I want to remember certain points, whether it be, you know, show prep or Bible study, whatever it is, I always write it out by hand. It's why I've got all my notes. And even our math, we didn't write in our math books. We had to transcribe the problem itself and then, you know, work it out on your sheet of paper. And it just builds focus skills in a way that typing still doesn't build. Hmm. Typing doesn't do it for me in the way that handwriting does.
Yeah. I know journaling helps me a lot, mostly emotionally, because I've been very open and honest about mental health struggles and anxiety and things like that. And when I'm feeling overwhelmed, which is like 90% of the time, it really helps to literally take out my notebook, write down what I'm worried about, and go, yeah, that's a real problem.